Today's scripture reading is continuing in Exodus. And Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you also have found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know, and so I may know you, and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with us, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way, we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people in the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you the name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is it by the place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of God for the people of God.
There's an exercise I remember doing in elementary school. I forget the exact premise of the thing, but the gist of the scenario was that my classmates and I were about to be stranded on a deserted island. But before we were thrown off the boat or parachuted off a plane or however it was we were supposed to get there, before that, we had the opportunity to fill up a box with stuff. Not just any stuff, though. We had a list. Matches were on the list, granola bars, tent, firewood, you get the idea. Problem was, of course, that the box was only so big. You couldn't fit the whole list in the box, and so you had to decide what to be included and what not. It was up to the group to reach a consensus, you see. That's the thing. And I don't remember what exactly the list was that we settled on, but I do remember the criteria we used, because it's the same one all of you would have used, right? What would help us as a group survive and contact the outside world while taking up the least amount of space? Makes sense? Pretty simple. I mean, that was it. Every inch mattered, so take what you need and don't bring anything that's just dead weight. Now, we all agreed on that. We all agreed on the criteria. We had a harder time deciding and agreeing what exactly met that criteria. And there was one group member in particular whose name I do not remember anymore, but who just kept disagreeing with us, almost as a matter of principle, I think. Like, we wanted to leave the tent behind. We thought we'd be fine. No, he wanted to bring it. We figured there'd be trees on the island, so we didn't need to bring firewood. Guess what he wanted to bring? Over and over again, he fought us over what to take and what to leave at home, until one girl raised her hand and asked the teacher, "Miss Ames, can I leave a group member at home?" The answer was no, but I'm willing to bet you can at least sympathize with the question, right? I mean, whatever we're doing in life, whether we're packing for a vacation or planning a wedding shower or being prepared to be dropped off on a deserted island, we are often asking this question: what do I need to take with me and what do I need to leave behind? I got only so much room in the car or in the venue or in the box, so what is essential and what is dead weight? And so maybe it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that we might start asking the same question about people. Because it's not just my classmate that wants to leave certain people at home, right? You've been there, right? What about that wedding shower? You're drawing up the guest list. Isn't there a name or two that you just might want to misplace their invitation? You're planning that big family vacation, and isn't it tempting sometimes to leave Uncle Jim at home? I mean, these people, they're no fun. They're no fun, and they cause drama. They won't lift a finger to help with anything. So, yeah, dead weight. Just leave them at home. I got to imagine Moses was tempted like this in our passage today. Right in the passage you just heard Arlene read and Diane wonderfully dramatized for us. You have skills I didn't know about. In that passage, Moses is still arguing with God, just like in last week's passage. Last week, you may remember, Moses was trying to convince God to not destroy the people for that whole golden cow incident. Remember that? That issue's been resolved. God decided not to destroy the people. But we have a new one here today. The issue now is who will God travel with in the upcoming journey? You see, all the way since Egypt, Moses has been physically present with the people in the form of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. There have been physical presence of God where people can see it and feel it so they know that God is with them. That's been what's been happening. But now, in light of the whole golden calf incident, God is rethinking that approach. Now, God's inclination is to be physically present with only Moses. If we go to a slightly earlier passage than Arlene just read, you hear God tell the Israelites, "You are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I would be among you, I would consume you." God is convinced that the people have fallen so far that they could not survive God's physical presence anymore. And I have to imagine that Moses was tempted to agree. I mean, think of everything Moses has gone through with these people. I mean, this is the last week, week 9 of this series, and you have heard the stories. You heard the wilderness passages, right? You heard the Hebrew people whining about water and whining about food and saying, "I want to go back to Egypt," right? That's what Moses has been putting up with now. Even Aaron, Moses' brother, betrayed him by making that golden calf. Even Aaron betrayed Moses. These people are as bad as that classmate of mine. They are nothing more than dead weight around Moses' neck. So yeah, I would not blame Moses if he were tempted to think that they did not deserve God to go with them. But that's not what Moses does. And that's not what Moses says. Now, like many passages in Scripture, our proper English does not quite do this passage justice. Because in proper English, I don't know if you know, but now you will, we cannot tell the difference between the singular you and the plural you. They're both just you, right? Unless you live in the South. Because, as all of you who are laughing know, Southerners have solved this problem with an amazing gift to biblical scholarship. The word y'all. Thank y'all for y'all, okay? So let me, if I may, paraphrase this passage in a Southern translation. Moses says to God, "God, don't forget these people belong to you." God says, "Moses, my presence will go with you, singular, and I will give you, singular, rest." Moses replies, "Hey, if your presence will not go with us, I'm not going. For how will anyone know that you think well of me and the rest of your people if you don't go with all of us? And the Lord says to Moses, very well, I will do as you asked. I will go with y'all. This is incredible. Moses is refusing to leave until God goes with every single person. And again, remember who these people are. They're the deadweights, the whiners, the complainers, the betrayers and idolaters, those who don't contribute anything, who have no useful skills, who are just difficult and create drama, so much drama. These are the ones who are responsible for that headache Moses has when he goes to bed every single night. And yet Moses is adamant. Moses is fighting for all of them. All or none. That's Moses' attitude. God is present with every single one, or none will leave. If anyone is missing out, Moses won't go anywhere. Amazing. But Moses won't give up and won't give in until God says, yes, I'll go with y'all. And Moses is doing this because Moses understands that people are not equipment to be assessed and chosen based on how helpful they are or how useful they are or how much they contribute. No, Moses knows that people are people, that every single one is a child of God, and on that basis alone is worthy of being included as God's family and as God's people. And Moses won't leave until every single one is included. If anyone is left out, no one gets to leave. That's the kind of people Moses wants to belong to. And that's the kind of people the people of God still are, even now. That's why I wanted your selfies this week. Thank you. Thank y'all for those. Because I understand it's hard to remember that now. I get it. I do. I mean, those of you who are here in person, I mean, you look around, all you see is empty pews, right? You feel very alone, even when you're here. And it's worse if you're at home. I'm talking to the phone people now. Because you're at home. Many of you are literally physically alone right now. And it's so hard to remember in either case that you still belong to the people of God, isn't it? But you are. You are still God's people. And that's why, this week, I asked for a little help from somebody else as well. I asked for a little help from our own Tom Nichols. If you don't know Tom, among many other things, he is a master woodworker. So I had him make something for me. Just give me a little second here. Tom made me a church. Aaron's going to put up a picture of it so you all can see it in detail. There it is. You see that? You recognize those people? I recognize those people. Oh, poor Levi and Isaac fell over. That's not too unusual, is it? Under the pew. There you go. You're all still here. At least as many of you as I could get. You are still here. You are still part of God's people. And this church, because of that, we will never move forward until you are included. All or none. That's how it was with Moses, and that's how it still is today, pandemic or not. I want you to realize, too, that especially in these days, it can't just be about us. I know y'all are hurting. I know you feel alone. That's why we did this. But it can't be just us, because there are others out there feeling just as alone as you have been, but they don't have a community. They don't have the support. They don't have someone to take their photo and put it in a pew. I mean, the pandemic, the economic collapse, the death of people of color in the streets, all of that has simply exposed who was left out long before 2020 hit us like a semi-truck. I mean, only now that they have been forced to isolate themselves and depend on us have we begun to see just how vulnerable older adults especially are sometimes, how much help they need, how much loneliness they fight. Only now that they're very obviously spending day after day making contingency plans have we finally realized just how overworked and underfunded our teachers and administrators have been this whole time, right? Only now that we have realized just how essential grocery store workers and fast food cooks and processing plant folks are, have we realized just how close they are to financial collapse despite all their hard work. Only now, as we've seen another African-American man shot in the back, have we realized that how many African-American men in particular, as intimidating as they often are for us, just how much fear they have been carrying for their own lives for so long. Only now, 5 months into all of this, have we finally realized just how many people have been left out for so long. And those people need community too. Those people need y'all too. They need to be seen. They need to be heard, and they need to be welcomed, and above all, they need to be loved. We do. And it's true. Some of them may have little or nothing to offer us. Little money, no skills, no time. They may be whiners, they may be complainers and drama makers. They may be dead weight, and we may be tempted to leave them behind at home. But then we hear Moses. Then we hear Moses tell God, if your presence will not go with all of us, I'm not leaving. For how would it be known that I have found favor in your sight unless you go with everyone? God, it's all or none. And he was right. He was right. Until there's not a single person left out, we can't move forward. But there was one more thing Moses knew he needed. Before he could set off, he needed one other thing. He said, God, one more thing, show me your glory. Did you notice God's quick correction? God said, I will make my goodness pass before you. That's because they're the same thing. God's goodness is God's glory. And Moses did need to see it. I mean, Moses knew who he was bringing along, right? The whiners, the complainers, and the drama makers. He knew who he was bringing along. And so Moses knew that if he didn't have a direct and personal encounter with the goodness and glory of God, he would lose his love for these people, because they try him so often. He knows that now. Moses understood something. So many of us who are working on behalf of others so often fail to understand. That our love for others is finite and can very easily be drained, but that God's love for others is infinite and never ending. And so, if like Moses, you're going to lead, if you're going to lead whiners and complainers and drama makers, or if you're going to do good work on behalf of the unseen and marginalized, if you're going to fight for justice in this world, Moses knew that you need to love others with God's love and not your own, because God's love is infinite and yours is not. And to love with God's love, you need to have a personal encounter with God's goodness and God's glory. Moses knows that, and so he looks at God and says, God, give me your glory. Let me see your glory. And God does. One more thing before I'm done, before we end this whole series. It's no accident that we're stopping right here. It's no accident that this series ends before the people get to the promised land. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, there's still a pandemic out there. There's still protests and riots out there. There's still an economic hardship out there for so many people. None of us are anywhere close to a promised land. But that doesn't matter. It didn't matter for Moses anymore. He wasn't going to see the promised land anyway. It didn't matter to Moses because no matter how long that journey was going to take, no matter how hard that journey was going to be, whether Moses even saw the end of that journey or not, it didn't matter because now Moses had the only things he needed. He had seen God's goodness and God's glory, and he had all the people of God going with him. Who cares where we're going? If we have that, who cares how hard it's going to be if we have that? Doesn't matter. Listen, I don't know what the future holds. I got no clue how long this pandemic's going to last. I have no idea how long it's going to be before the economy rebounds. I have no idea how long it's going to be until we can pack these pews the way these pews are packed and sing our praises until the rafters shake. I have no idea. I also don't care. I don't care how long it's going to be. I don't care because I already have what I need. I have seen God's goodness in these days. And I still have all y'all walking with me. I don't need anything else. And neither do you. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we reach the end of this series, help us be aware that we have not reached the end of the journey. That the journey before us, our own spiritual journey and the journey of your people goes on. That while we don't know how long it will be or how hard it will be, we can't wait on that to take the next steps. And so God, all we ask is that you would lead us, not from afar or from as close as our own breath. God, be present with all of us. Let none be left out as we set forth together into the future you are leading us into. God, help us be faithful. Help us love the last, the least, and the lost. Help us love everyone as your children. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.